for tapes of end time meetings, deliverance services, or Lake Hamilton Bible Campground's publication, Voices from His Excellent Glory, Declaring the Kingdom. Writes Post Office Box 21516, Hot Springs National Park, Arkansas, zip 71903.
Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are many free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home.
Thursday afternoon, December the 31st, 1987. Midwinter Family Camp Meeting being held at Lake Hamilton Bible Campgrounds, Hot Springs National Park, Arkansas. Irma Miller is the speaker of the afternoon.
Look not to the right nor to the left, my children, but look unto me, for I am the author and the finisher of thy faith. Yea, I shall lead thee out of the wilderness. Yea, I shall stand by thee. I shall correct thee. I shall chastise thee, because thou art my sons. And I shall bring you to liberty in the Holy Spirit. I shall bring you into out of confusion and into perfect peace, for I am thy God. I am thy Lord. I am thy Savior. And yea, thou shalt walk with me and talk with me, and I shall give you even a listening ear, and I shall give you seeing eyes, that you will see the strategies of the enemy long before he pulls his attack upon you. Look unto me, serve me with a whole heart, not just a half heart, but serve me with a whole heart. For I will bring thee through. Hold on to my hand. Do not fall over the cliffs. Do not veer off of course, but keep your eyes on me, and yea, I shall lead thee. Do not walk ahead of me, for thou shalt find the boulders rolling down the mountain that will cause you to be pushed back. But yea, I shall protect you from those boulders. I shall keep you from the harm of the enemy that he would like to do unto you, for I am your God. You have called unto me. And yea, I have already answered many. I have already answered many of those things that has bothered you people. And yea, I will keep on, if you'll only tell me. Because I am your Lord. I am your Father. Thou art my son, and be an obedient son. And yea, thou shalt not falter nor fall. But if you should walk the other way and turn away, oh, I pray that your faith will fail not, that you will come back and look unto me, for I will lead thee, saith the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Now that's a good way to start the service this afternoon, isn't it?
Amen.
Thank you, Jesus. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Father. Praise your Lord. Well, Irma, come here. I don't know if any of the rest of us are going to add anything to you this afternoon.
Yes. Praise the Lord. We've had some wonderful meetings upstairs, and I think you have down here. There's not as many of us, but if we keep persevering, the Lord's going to keep helping us, isn't he? We can't let up a minute. Not 1 minute can we let up from looking to Jesus and serving him. And praying. You know, prayer is the key that opens heaven's door. Is that a scripture or a song? I know it's a song. But it's good sense. It makes good sense. Prayer is the key. When you feel especially let down, sometimes after a meeting like we've had the last few days, and you get back home, you think, oh dear, how am I going to stand? I used to think like that. And I just know something was going to come back on me, and I'd be frightened about it. But fear not the enemy. Begin to praise the Lord, and even before the enemy comes at you, walk in your house and begin praising Jesus, saying, I praise you, Jesus. I want to follow you, Jesus. I command every evil spirit out of my house in the name of Jesus and walk through your house. And I mean, open the door and push him out. Let him go. Many, we do that. We do that. Sometimes we have workmen up there in our house. These things just float around. They'll float right in to try to disturb your peace. You have to be embarrassed about praying and coming against the enemy. He's real. If you don't think he's real, maybe you've never had him strike you. He's real. Well, I have a lot of things on my heart. I haven't really said much this week. Praise the Lord for that, I guess you think. But we've had a lot of wonderful meetings upstairs, and they're all saying, why didn't you tape these? I never really knew what I was going to talk about when I went up there, and we had a lot of visual aids that that the Lord just put in front of us, and we either had to do something about it or forget it. And praise the Lord. The Lord came right in there and took care of many things. And so we praise the Lord that He is faithful. He is faithful. Now, I'm going to really talk in a minute on demon troops. How many's ever heard a sermon about demon troops? Can you all hear me back there? I'm not as strong in my throat.
You're coming too good.
Praise the Lord. Well, I'm going to talk about demon troops this afternoon. So you listen real close. You need to practice the presence of God even while other people are speaking. Just be so alert to the Holy Ghost, what the Spirit is saying to the church today. Didn't John say that many times in the book of Revelation? What is the Spirit saying to the church this afternoon? And one thing that we dealt with up there today, I'm doing an article on about children. And I think it's a much overdue article, and the Lord's just been giving it to me for the last couple weeks about talking to your children. You know, when you're breaking a child, for toilet training, you have to talk with them nice. Oh, you're such a big boy now. You don't need to wear Pampers anymore. We're going to go to the bathroom like big daddy, like daddy. We're going to go to the bathroom. And you keep talking to them, and pretty soon they'll just come and tell you, and you won't have to keep spanking them. And all of us, as children of the Lord, we need to be very alert, but parents need to talk to the children about all the happenings that happened here. Just sit around the table and talk about it. There's a lot of scriptures about that. The Lord has given me so much this last few weeks on it. And I haven't got it all put together. I'm getting it more put together every day. And I praise the Lord for all the children that are here. Now, we didn't have near as many children as we had in the summer camp. But the Lord, the rain has hampered. Many people had reservations. They couldn't get in here. But the Lord has done a great work among children. They listen, whether you think they're listening or not. And if you reiterate it back to them and say, and just tell them what happened. You don't have to make any big thing about it. Just sit and talk about it. You say, oh, I don't want to talk about demons. Well, you better want to talk about them so they won't want them. And talk about Jesus and His power, because they'll want more of Jesus. But anyway, we read upstairs, the Lord gave me this scripture. My people, this is in Hosea 4. You don't have to turn to it. But you need to underline the whole thing. I guess it'd be good. Because we hear everybody saying, my people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. Haven't we heard that all week? Yes. We have heard that all week. My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. And we quit right there. Because there's a reason for everything. Thou hast rejected knowledge. If we sit and reject the knowledge the Lord has given unto us, and the Lord says, I will also reject thee, that thou shalt be no priest to me. We go around saying we're a kingdom of priests, but He says, I'm going to reject you if you reject knowledge. Every bit of knowledge that you've heard here this week, you need to ask the Lord to open it up more to you and give you second and third opinions and other people. You know, other people will come to you. Lord, confirm that. I will also reject thee, that thou be no priest to me, seeing thou hast forgotten the law of thy God, and I will also forget thy what? Children. I just have been seeing that this week. I will forget thy children. And there are families. We've all got children or grandchildren that are wavering. And this is the reason. So we have to take this to heart and correct the part that needs to be corrected. You understand? You see what I'm talking about? We have to not reject the knowledge of the Lord and the laws of our God.
Hallelujah.
A lot of people say, oh, you're putting me back in the law. I sure am. The laws of God starts in Genesis and goes through Revelations. We have the grace of God. Otherwise, we'd all be stoned and dead and who knows what would happen. We have the grace of God. But I tell you, we need the commandments of the Lord. And there are how many commandments in the Bible, Kevin? 1,050 commandments or laws of God in the New Testament alone. That's all I'm going to say about that. But pretty soon, one day, I'll get this article written. I'm going to read from Nehemiah 9. Then I'm just going to talk to you out of experience and out of my heart. 9 and 26, I guess I'll... No, I'm going to read 20... Well, I'm going to read 24. Oh, my. The time is getting away, but I'm going to read 23. 9 and 23 of Nehemiah. Nehemiah, Esther, Job. Go back from Job in Psalms. Their children also multiplied. This is the children of Israel. Thou as the stars of heaven, and broughtest them into the land, concerning which thou hast promised to their fathers, that they should go in to possess it. So the children went in and possessed the land. The grown people didn't get in. Why didn't they get in? Unbelief and disobedience to God. Even Moses didn't get in. He saw it. I want to get in, don't you? We all see a lot of it. But we want to get right in there. We want to get the whole thing. The children went in and possessed the land, and thou subduest before them the inhabitants of the land, the Canaanites, and gavest them into their hands with their kings and the people of the land, that they might do with them as they would. And they took strong cities and a fat land, and possessed houses full of all goods. Does that say anything to you?
Yes.
Wells digged, vineyards, olive yards, and fruit trees in abundance. So they did eat and were filled and became fat and delighted themselves in thy great goodness for a while. Then they said, nevertheless, they were disobedient and rebelled against thee, against God, and against Moses, and cast thy law behind their backs. Go, law. I don't want to. I'm a law unto myself. I can do anything I want. I'm free. I can do anything I want. Well, let's see what happened. And they slew the prophets, which testified against them to turn them to thee. And they wrought great provocations. That's provokings. Means provoking. Therefore, thou deliverest them into the hands of their enemies. Have any of you been there? Yes, yes, yes. Who vexed them? Have you had any vexations? And in the time of their trouble, when we all get in trouble, what do? We can forget to pray, forget to read, forget to be in church, and what do? We cry unto God. We start praying then. Thou heard, and isn't God wonderful? Thou heardest them from heaven, and according to thy manifold mercies, thou gavest them saviors. Obadiah says saviors are going to come out of Mount Zion, doesn't it?
Hallelujah.
Who saved them out of the hand of their enemies. But after they had rest, they go and do it again. They did evil again before thee. Therefore leftest thou them in the hand of their enemies, so that they had the dominion over them. Yet when they returned and cried unto thee, thou heardest them again from heaven, and many times didst thou deliver them according to thy mercies. How many have you been delivered of the same thing more than once? Sure. Because we have turned away and re-sinned and got seven times worse many times. So this, you see, in the 10th chapter of 1 Corinthians, it says the children of Israel are our examples for the people whom the ends of the earth has come, something like that. Are we the people whom the ends of the earth has come? All of this was written for an admonition to us to be very careful, to be obedient to the Lord. They testified against them that thou mightest bring them again unto thy law, yet they dealt proudly and hearkened not unto thy commandments, but sinned against thy judgments, which if a man do, he shall live in them, and withdrew the shoulder and hardened their necks and would not hear them. And it goes on down the 31st verse. Nevertheless, for thy great mercy's sake, thou didst not utterly consume them. Aren't you glad that that God has had mercy on us, on Glenn and I, and on all of you? Aren't you glad? And he hasn't forsaken us. For thou art a gracious and a merciful God. Now therefore, our God, the great, the terrible, and the mighty God who keepeth covenant and mercy, let not all the trouble seem little before thee that has come up on us, on our kings and on our princes, and so on and so forth. And it says, howbeit thou art just in all that is brought upon us, for thou hast done right. You think God gives us exactly what we have brought upon ourselves? He allows it. I often say, God will allow me to go downtown and get drunk tonight if I want to, but I don't want to. But he'll let you. If you will to do it, he won't get out there and hit you with a hammer and keep you from going. Right. You've got to love God and say, I will to do thy will, O God. I don't want to do anything, Lord, that's going to hurt you or hurt the kingdom or hurt the cause of Christ. Howbeit thou art just in all that is brought upon us, for thou hast done right, but we have done wickedly. Isn't that something? Do you like the book of Nehemiah? A very wonderful, wonderful book. I want to talk about demon troops. Now, they have the drug world, the drug addicts, the drug system came in, and these were troops that moved from foreign countries into America. Now, when we went to Sweden in 66, Glenn? We got off the plane. I couldn't imagine what in the world was wrong with me. I felt like I had 4 tons on my head, and I just wanted to go like this and not even stand up straight. And I didn't know what it was, but when we got down to the hotel, we were just astounded at the young people. Now, we didn't have it yet in California. We didn't have it at all. Now, Glenn come home and told me about it. He went to London a few months before that with an airlift of the Four Gospel Businessmen. And he come home showing me all these kids with long, straggly hair and looking like not even people, like animals. And he said the Full Gospel men got a barber or two that was there, and they brought these kids up in the room, and they prayed for them, and they cut their hair, and they delivered them, and they started walking free. You know, hair has great power in it. It has great power, especially in men that have long hair. And even girls, we never saw long, straggly hair, did we? Until the drug world came in and the rebellion came in. That is body language saying, I am rebellious and I don't care who knows it.
Right.
And we had a terrible siege with all of our Christian kids. They wanted that long hair hanging down like a girl, didn't they? See, those were troops going through. You go through the school. We call it fads, but I call it troops. And I remember when Marilyn Monroe committed suicide. The devil waits until he can get the right person that can drag down a whole lot of people.
Yes.
He doesn't bother much with just one or two of us. He wants to drag down a whole bunch of people, so he waits until he can get somebody prominent that has a big name, and he will get them to commit suicide or do something else. She committed suicide, and what happened? All across the nation, people were committing suicide because the enemy would tell them, look, you're going to get your name in headlines. You're going to be able to have them write about you if you'll just kill yourself. In Japan and everywhere, they were jumping out windows. Now they're talking about the Wall Street thing and how many people are going to kill themselves. We had a terrible killing over in Little Rock recently. A stockbroker killed his wife and his two children. Did you read about it in the papers or see about it? He was a big stockbroker, and his mother was McCambridge, Mercedes. Is it Mercedes? McCambridge? Uh-huh. And she was the demon voice in The Exorcist. And he decided, because of the love of money, see, people commit suicide for lots of different reasons. But he decided that he was caught in a corner from stealing from his head brokerage where he was a vice president, from stealing for them, from them, and putting it over in his mother's account and for his own good. For his own good, because his mother's pretty old. You see, the enemy works. And now, since then, we're having all kinds of killings.
Right.
The next killing here in Arkansas, that's a troop. And here, about a year ago, some man killed his wife and his family down here in Bismarck, down this way. And we need to pray about these things because they're troops. And they're going to be all across the nation. Well, up here in northern Arkansas, not even northern, Russellville. I don't know if anybody's here from Russellville. There was some lady here the other night. He killed 16 people.
Yes.
16 people. Maybe you haven't even heard about it because you've been here and not seeing a newspaper or hearing the news. He killed 16 people. And you know what the root was? Incest is what they have on the front page of the paper. Incest. How many know what incest is? It is having sexual relations with a relative. And this morning, there was somebody on the early news. I had it on while I was getting ready. And this is what, I don't know if he was a doctor. I didn't hear the first part. I walked in the other room, and when I came back, I heard him say he was this man that killed his family, his 16 people. Two of them were people that he'd worked with. And they said, now that was revenge and hatred. They said that right on TV. Do you know those are spirits that could be in us? Revenge and hatred and unforgiveness against the three places where he worked. I killed the young secretary who was 25 because she wouldn't pay attention to his sexual. And he was, he was rejected, but he had no business messing around with a 25-year-old secretary of where he worked. So he goes in because she spurned him and shot her. Went uptown after he'd already killed his family. And then he went over someplace else and he killed another woman that was at the cashier's office of a grocery store and tried to kill the boss. The boss ran from the back room of the chair and threw a chair at him, and so he ran and left. See, all of that, but see, there's something behind all that. And if we allow any of these things to be in us, when Satan comes down with all his fury, he's gonna get it. He's gonna come at you. So we better be repenting. Now here's something else they said, that the man was frustrated. Frustrated. And then he was worried about unemployment. We're gonna have the worst unemployment coming on this nation because of all the car factories and all the places that are closing. I think Chevrolet is closing down 17 or 19 places. And thousands of people are being laid off. And they said the man was fearful always. Every place he worked, he was fearful. Doesn't this go right down the line with demonic powers? And that he was full of rage. Now, anybody that's full of rage, anybody that has ever drank liquor, we took this up upstairs and we had a real free-for-all, didn't we? Of getting evil spirits out. Anybody that's ever drank wine, mockery will be there and blasphemy. And somebody asked me this morning, in fact, they asked us to pray, and because we ran so late this morning, they had to catch a plane, but they asked me, did I think it was wrong when they go places and they offer them a glass of wine, should they drink it? I think it is wrong. It is a mockery to the Holy Ghost. And you take one drink and pretty soon you're taking another and pretty soon you become addicted to it. And it is wrong. It's better to flee the very appearance of evil. It might not kill them or cause them to go to hell, but I'm telling you, one drink that an alcoholic has been delivered, and if he takes one more drink after he's been delivered, 3 years from now, if he takes a drink, he's right back into it again. And it says, strong drink is raging. What does rage mean? Rage is anger out of control. And the strong drink is raging, makes us rage. And anybody that's ever had very much drinking, you say, well, I don't do it anymore. That's all right. We have the effect after we sow the seed. Cause and effect. Cause and effect. Cause and effect. And we have to get all of it out. You can get saved and throw away your cigarettes, but the next place you go is to eating and the cookie jar. Is that true? You that have smoked a lot, people have told me that. Then they want to eat all the time. Always have to have something eating. And they go to sweets or to coffee drinking or just Cokes or anything. Have to have something in their hand to drink. We had somebody here that was, the doctor told him, you're going to die if you don't quit smoking. He was in a trailer. And his wife had to make up celery sticks and carrot sticks all day long. He had to have something in his fingers all the time. See, that habit. But as Christians, he was not a Christian, but he was going to die, so he got scared and quit smoking. But as Christians, we don't need to be running to the cookie jar when we quit smoking. A lot of people will tell me, I don't want to quit smoking because if I do, I'll get fat. Have you ever heard that?
Yeah.
And they usually do. But we don't have to. You don't have to. You see, these are things. And then the bottom line, they took up this incest. And 6 years, no, I don't know how many years ago, out in Cloudcroft, New Mexico, where this ex-Marine, ex-soldier lived, he committed incest with his own daughter, and she bore a child. Well, the health department took it up. We have people that come here from Cloudcroft, New Mexico, and they probably knew the man, because it's a little dinky town out there by White Sands, and the family, the health department said the family would not prosecute him. And they were getting ready to do it anyway, and they escaped and left town. Do you know that incest, I remember 10 years ago, the Lord gave me an article, is incest a problem in the church today? And we had an inflow of homosexuals and lesbians into this place for deliverance because they want help, and they need help, and we're glad to pray for them. But these sexual sins, I thought Glenn was going to talk on sexual sins this afternoon, but there's a good book back there that they have written that you need to get, because all of these things usually has a main root. Perversion has a main root. And a lot of it is born in us. Incest goes back for 10 generations, according to the Word of God. 10 generations, that's 400 years approximately. Now, what do you know about your generations past? 10 generations back, 9 or 8 or 7 or 6, we don't know. So we don't take any chances, do we? We just pray and ask the Lord to cleanse our bloodline, heal us, and take out all the incest that's in us. Or take out all, and it's a curse put on by God. Now in the Old Testament, they could not go into the church, tabernacle, if they were had been born in incest. That's pretty drastic, isn't it? But because of Jesus, because he hung on a tree, we have grace and mercy. Otherwise, we would not be able to come before God. And same way with the curse of the bastard. They took up the curse of the bastard and wrote an article on it. We've got a book back there. It's very enlightening. When you read that, you can see your own self, maybe way back in the generations. And so I had them take us through deliverance on that. Because if it keeps on going and going, you see, when you cut it off, Then you could cut it off of your children and your grandchildren. Otherwise, it's just going to keep on going. You'll have divorce. You'll have suicide. You'll have murder. You'll have more sexual problems. You'll have all kinds of perversion. We get all kinds of frantic, I call them SOS calls, and I feel sorry. We cry and pray over the phone of women that have gone into lesbianism, left their husbands, or even maybe they're in it and just won't have anything to do with their husbands. They may dress like a man, act like a man. See, we still have to come under subjection to our husbands, don't we? Because if we don't, we won't come under subjection to God. So we have to watch all these little things. Another troop is incest, or is the occult. Now, I don't recall ever seeing a Ouija board or anything like that until really just before we moved here. I never saw one. Maybe they had them, but I never saw one. And I lived in California and went through toy stores, and I never saw one. I never heard of anybody levitating and tipping tables until I started studying or hearing preaching on it, and I saw a Ouija board where I worked. They had it, and they claimed that the night girls would tell us they could hear chains rattling at night, and they said that they could hear voices. And they had brought this Ouija board into this. We were in a three-story apartment house, kind of. And they had brought it in and put it in the kitchen on the table. And I was supervising the day shift, so they'd come and tell me every morning. Well, I was too busy with the work, and I'd just give them their work and say, come on, let's go to work. And I didn't pay attention to what they were trying to tell me. They were hearing voices, and somebody got pushed down, and it was somebody touched them and pushed them. And they walked down the dark hall, and they were afraid. And one day I came in from lunch hour. And, you know, I hope none of you do this, but some people have a habit of taking a long lunch hour. If they have a 30-minute lunch hour, they'll sneak 35 minutes or 40 minutes or 45 minutes. And so I came back from work on time, and I just stood there in the kitchen in this kitchen of this apartment where they had eaten their lunch around this table. And here was this thing in the middle. I had never seen this Ouija board before. But the minute I saw it, I realized what it was. I'd heard about them. So I stood there and I prayed in tongues under my breath. I never said a word. I just stood there. But you know, the very presence of the Holy Spirit will convict people in you. It will. In fact, a lot of people don't like to be around somebody that's spirit-filled because they're too convicted. So I just stood there, and I finally just went on into my office, and they got up, and they thought I was standing there looking at them because they knew they should be back to work. So we all were working. Along in the afternoon, a girl came out of the proofreading section, and she said, will you come in here? And so I went back there, not thinking they had a question about their work. And when I went in, she closed the door and stood against it. And she said, we want you to tell us what were you doing because our Ouija board would not work after you came in. And I said, well, I was praying. I said, that's why you're hearing chains rattling at night. And that's why you're hearing voices. And this was kind of a crazy setup, but when you're on a big government project, you know, you work so many hours that you do all kinds of stupid things. And we had, the upper floor had a stairway that you could go outdoors. And you could come down about halfway, and it was the middle floor. And we had a window there and a chair sitting inside the window. And we'd jump off of those stairs through that window and down on this chair to get down there fast. Because if you had to go all the way down and come around, it was a long ways if you're in a hurry. And so everybody was doing it. But they would tell me at night, they said, I come in one morning and they said, you know, something pushed so-and-so down clear down those stairs. And I said, well, that's terrible. But I said, I guess we better start going around. And I didn't think anything about it until they started telling me about this Ouija board being in there. or they asked me why it didn't work, and then I realized, I put all this together. You know, we learn by experience. By visual aids, we learn. And that was a real visual aid to me, and I saw the effect of the Spirit-filled Christian working in a place where there was sinners, and you can pray. You don't have to make it obnoxious. You don't even let them know you're praying. My, just pray and watch and see what happens, how the Lord is going to answer. We had another girl working for us. She had just come. I had seen her in a vision. This was really strange, but I was back at my parents in Illinois, and we were kind of resting and from a convention, and this night I had this dream, and I saw a girl walking up out of the ocean, like the beach, and she had on a purple outfit, and she had round, those round, we call those round things where you can lace, like shoelaces, but eyelets. She had these round gold eyelets down in front of this purple pantsuit. And there was a tie up here, and it had two little furry balls that tied and hung down. And I would tell Glenn about it, and I said, every night I keep dreaming the same dream about this beautiful girl. She had her hair piled up. She was just a pretty girl, beautiful girl, coming up out of that water. And we went back to California, and I always attended a prayer group every Wednesday, and about 15 or 20 ladies were there. And so I told them, I keep praying for this girl, but I don't know who she is. I've never seen her in my life. And I said, the Lord keeps showing her to me, and I don't understand this. And so we all prayed that the Lord would reveal what this vision meant, vision in the night. And I think it was only the very next day I go to Chuck Flynn, and Bob Mumford was teaching to Chapel in the Canyon. And after the meeting was over, I was up talking to Chuck, and somebody walked up and went like that to me. And I turned around, and she said, "Are you the tape lady?" I said, "Yes, and you're the girl." She had on that purple outfit with those eyelets. And praise the Lord that I had prayed, not knowing why I was praying. I just prayed in the Spirit. If you don't know how to pray when you see something like that and you don't know who it is, just pray in the Spirit, because the Holy Spirit knows how to pray accurately and perfectly. And when I said, "You're the girl," she began to cry. And I told her, I said, "I've been seeing you in a night vision in the night for over 2 weeks, and I've been praying for you." And her mother was there. And she told me later, well, she eventually came to work for us, but she told me that day, she took me aside and she told me, she said, "You know, about 2 weeks ago, I left my husband. I worked on the dock at the post office, and all those guys told me I was too pretty to be tied up with two kids and a husband, that I should go out and have fun." Now, they were Christians. She had the Holy Spirit. And she said, they told me I should go out and have fun, so I left my husband and moved into a motel and was going to go into real nightlife. I said, "Well, praise the Lord, I prayed for you, honey, but I didn't know why I was praying." But she said, just a few days before, she said, "I decided to quit that job at that post office." In California, you can drive up to the dock at the post office, and there'll be handlers there, like car hops, you know, and they run out and get your letters or your packages, or else they'll bring your mail to you. In those days, they did. And then that girl, they wanted to come over and have fellowship, so they came over and had fellowship, and we were just moving into a new building out of our house, tapes and books and all this, and we moved in that building, and they wanted to go down and help us. So we said, okay. And then eventually she wanted to work there in the Bible bookstore and in our office. So we said, fine. And one day I said to Glenn, "You know, I wonder if she smokes. I keep smelling smoke on her." He said, "Oh, no, no, no." I said, "Well, I don't know. Surely not." So one day she came in and she was crying. And she said, Well, they had gone to a New Assembly God church. They were Baptists, but they'd gone to a New Assembly God church, and they needed help so bad, and you know how we all are. We want to use everybody that comes in. And so they had put him in as young people's leader. Well, one night, the doorbell rang after they got home, and she was telling me this. And she says, I have a terrible problem. She came to work crying. I said, well, what is it? And so we started praying about it. And she said, well, last night, Sunday night, after church, we came home, and my husband lit up a cigarette and put on the coffee pot. And she said, just at that time, we were in the kitchen. Somebody knocked at the door, and the kids opened the front door, and we thought it was the pastor. So she said, we got out the cigarette, and we got out the spray, and we were spraying all over in the kitchen so he wouldn't smell it, but it was only the neighbor lady. She said, they would put us out if they knew this. Well, we began to pray. I said, well, let's pray for him. So every day, she and I would lock hands together, face each other, and we would begin to pray. And I wish we knew exactly where we hit the key, but we stamped on the devil. We bound the devil. We did everything. And we did that Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday. I think Thursday, he called, and he said, they thought I had a heart attack at work today, but they say, the doctor said there's nothing wrong with my heart, but they told me to go home and rest, and could Judy come home with... Could she come home? I said, sure, sure. So I told her, and she went on home. When she got home, he was laying on the floor, writhing like a snake, in pain, holding his chest, and just writhing and writhing. And she called me, and so dumbbell me, you know, I didn't catch on to what was going on. And she said, we're going to go to the doctor and see what it is. So I said, okay, we'll pray. And they went to the doctor, and they put him in the hospital. And they x-rayed him or did something. They found out he had blood in his lungs. Well, they began to give him blood transfusions because he was bleeding profusely. And that didn't work too good. They just put in pint after pint. So they just took a long needle and put it in his back and started pulling that blood out of his lungs and siphoning it right back in his arm so they didn't have to have so many transfusions. And she called about midnight, and we weren't home yet. We were at a meeting in Orange County, and Glenn's mother answered. And when we got home, she said, Glenn's mother said, they called and they think he'll die before morning. I said, oh, my, we got to pray, Glenn. So we prayed, and pretty soon we were so tired, about 1 o'clock, we get in bed. And I'd wake myself up every once in a while and shake myself. We can't let that man die. We got to pray. I think you ought to open the back door. Well, man, this is like a smokehouse in here. It's like everybody's got their cigarettes lit up. So I would wake myself up, and I'd try to pray, and I'd try to pray in tongues, and I'd pray two or three words, and I'd be off and asleep again, and I just kept trying to wake up and try to wake up. You see, I did not know this little key. Somebody had to tell me this. When the Holy Spirit and the Lord has already answered your prayer, you don't have to keep praying about it. So next morning, as soon as I got down to the office and got somebody to watch the store, I ran to the hospital. And I was walking down the aisle, and she said, oh, here comes my boss now. Maybe she'll pray. So I got down to the door, and so the nurse said, do you want to come in? This is intensive care. You can come in there, because they had a screen around him and two elderly ladies with that death rattle in their throats making a terrible noise. And that's enough to scare anybody half to death herself. And he was laying there. And I said, how are you? And he said, not very good. And I looked at him and said, you're not going to die, you're going to live. He didn't even look like death. He didn't even look pale. So I just prayed and thanked the Lord for healing him. And about 8 days later, he was ready to leave the hospital, but they told him he'd have to come back in 6 weeks when he recuperated more to get the blood out of the lower part of his lungs. But on the way to the hospital, which we didn't know for a while, he threw his cigarettes out the window and said, I don't want these things anymore. When they were ready to leave the hospital, she walked up to the desk, and the surgeon walked up, the same surgeon that had operated on him. She hadn't, you know, you don't always get to talk to your doctor all the time. So when she did that, she said, would you please give us a diagnosis of this? And he looked on the chart and read. This is what he read, and I want you to listen to this carefully. A torn lung, reason unknown. Who do you think had torn him? The demon had torn him. You know, Jesus used to say to the demons, don't you tear him? But see, we didn't know that in those days. We didn't know that. We didn't know to bind. We bound, but we didn't know what we were doing. We were just praying. So we must always bind the strong man. And many people have been delivered of tobacco. The Bible says you can deliver those that don't want to be delivered by the cleanness of your own hands through intercessory prayer. Now, isn't that a good little nugget? You can deliver, pray for your children and bind the enemy and keep praying, and it doesn't happen overnight. Not always. But as your faith is, so be it unto you. And there's many, many people have been delivered from tobacco and alcoholism by praying, and they didn't even know. We never did tell him. But as far as I know, to this day, and it's been a good, I don't know how many years, 10 or 12 years. Oh, more than that. It was long before we moved here. So it's got to be about 15 years ago. He's never smoked another cigarette. Now, isn't that beautiful? And see, we just ran on to that little nugget of truth. And so I'm telling it to you because you may have children. We get so many people calling up and saying, my children are moving in with somebody they're not married to. It's, every day we get those calls. Almost every day. And we have a lot of, but you see, it's the sexual sins and the sins of our fathers. Maybe we've never done any of these things, but maybe, see, the Bible says he's going to visit the down to the third and the fourth generation because of those that hated him, the ancestors that hated God. Do you have any ancestors that you know about that hated God? And it's visited down upon us. Incest is visited down. The curse of the bastard is visited down. So it behooves all of us, all of us. If you've been a drinker, we need to get rid of rage this afternoon. And if you have unforgiveness in your heart and hold a grudge against somebody, your wife, your boss, your teachers, from years back, that little grudge can still be down in there, can't it? And it can cause great harm. Unforgiveness, God says, if you don't forgive others, I'm not going to forgive you. Boy, that's pretty drastic, isn't it? You'll find that in Matthew. Book of Matthew, you read about it. If you don't forgive others, you won't be forgiven yourself. And people hurt you, just forgive it. Forgive them and forget it. And go on. God will take the vengeance. We don't have to take vengeance. God will take the vengeance. So we need to watch all those things. How many people have ever smoked or drank be honest now, because honesty is what will deliver you. If you sit there, you know, smug as a bug in a rug, you possibly will not get delivered. But if you have rage and anger inside of you, if you have the cookie jar habit, there's nothing wrong with cookies. We call, Raymond always says, the cookie monster's in him when we make chocolate chip cookies. I mean, the whole kitchen is full of people in there. We all go in there and eat them sometimes. But there is a limit to everything. I mean, a few cookies, but we have to be balanced. A whole jar of cookies is a little too much in one day, I'd say. Don't you? The God of our belly wants to rule us. Our body wants to rule us. We want to do our own thing, and we don't want anything except easy life, do we? But we have to be a hardened soldier. We have to learn to put your body under subjection to the Spirit of God. The Holy Spirit is the ruler in us and not our bodies. But so many times we have the cart before the horse. The soulish realm, our body will rule us. Our head, our mind will rule us. I'll never forget, this is coming to my mind. I'm just talking, I don't have any notes. One day, I got delivered from taking aspirin and tranquilizers. And I think this was about probably 1970, 69 or 70. And we had a Winnebago, fairly new. And our kids, our daughter-in-law was a policewoman. And so they'd borrow the Winnebago and they'd go out with their motorcycles and race around over the hills on a weekend. So they took this Winnebago with them. And one day I was peeling turnips, getting ready for dinner, and I just sliced off a piece of turnip, and I hadn't really eaten much that day, and I took that turnip, and whatever it did to me gave me a headache. I didn't have any aspirins in the house or anything to take. I'd been delivered of sorcery.
We had thrown it all out.
That's right. And so, you know what? All I could think about, I had seen a box of aspirins in the silverware drawer that they had, bare aspirin that they had brought home with them from the mountains or wherever they'd been. And my first thought when I saw it, I ought to toss that out. And then I thought, oh, well, why should I? Because they'll be using it again and they'll just waste their money and buy another package. I'll leave it in there. And I left it in there. And all I could think about was those aspirins out there in that drawer and how sick I was. You know, when you get a sick headache that just hits you. I could just think about that, and I would just, and I didn't think to pray, but I didn't know how to get in that Winnebago. I didn't know if the keys were in our bedroom or not. And you know, it was like something propelled me. I went right into the bedroom, and I found those keys to the Winnebago. And I went out, and I opened that door, and I got in there, and I opened that silver box, and I got that aspirin, and I brought it right in the house. We have to watch all these little temptations, see. When I saw that the first time, the Holy Spirit spoke to me, a still small voice said, you better throw those away. But I didn't. I came in, I swallowed two, and the devil began to laugh at me. The headache was gone immediately. The aspirin didn't take effect. The devil began to laugh at me, and I took those aspirins, the ones that I hadn't swallowed, and threw them away, threw them down the stool. And I don't believe I have ever had a headache since. And I praise the Lord for that. That's years ago. And I used to have bad headaches all the time. If you have bad headaches all the time, it's probably coming from the occult, from witchcraft in you. From either going to a if you've ever gone to a fortune teller, if you have ever played with a Ouija board, if you ever read horoscopes, if you've ever read Unity books, if you've ever read Christian Science books, if you've ever played around with table tipping, if you've gone to a seance, a spiritualist meeting, God says, I'm going to put a curse on you if you do those things. You say, well, I didn't know it when I did it. Of course you didn't. But we don't have any reason to be ignorant about even one word that's in this Bible. Do you know that? All of us have got Bibles, Bibles, Bibles. And every day that I read the Bible, it seems like the Lord shows me something new. Of course, our big problem was we haven't read it enough. Is that right? We haven't read the Bible enough. But let me see, what else? If you've had handwriting analysis done, I'm talking out of my own experience because I had done some of these things. I hadn't done them all. But I had had handwriting analysis done. And let me see what else I got here. If you've ever gone to any meditation, yoga classes, or if you've ever played around with any kind of yoga or meditation, you know what I'm talking about, yoga exercises, or ever been hypnotized, or ever had somebody do wart cures on you. Metaphysics. All these health stores have all these metaphysics books. You better stay away from them. Hair analysis. Hair readings. Swung a pendulum in front of you. Or a dentist hypnotized you. Or a doctor. If you have any belief at all in reincarnation that you might come back a better person in your next life. That's wicked. If you have a lot of bad dreams. If you've ever messed around with magic. Or handwriting analysis, or Jean Dixon books. How many of you have ever read Jean Dixon's book? I did too. In fact, we had in our library. My land, when Derek Prince got through with taking the books out of our library that we had in there, we had to paint the living room. We burned them in the fireplace. We did. If you've ever belonged to a Mormon church or had Mormon books in your house, we had Mormon Bible. Yeah, Watchtower. They'll come and give you books of the Watchtower. You know, I'm never rude to them. They come on this campground sometime, but if I'm home, I will not be rude to them. I just say, well, I believe in Jehovah. I believe in God. I believe in the Holy Spirit. I believe in Jesus. Now, let's just all pray. And I start to take hold of their hands, and I said, I think I will pray in tongues. Do you pray in tongues? I just start praying in tongues and I open my eyes and they're long gone. You don't have to be rude to them. You don't have to be rude to them at all. If you have any rock music, if you've ever listened to any rock music, your ears are deafened to the Holy Spirit and to the Lord. I mean Christian rock, too. We have several books back there on Christian rock. Those have to go, and you need prayer.
The power of handwriting analysis.
Oh, yeah, handwriting analysis. We had that done at the fair once. You know, I write in a big scroll, and I wrote across that for that man, and he gave me all of what it meant, and I took it home with me. It sounded pretty good, and I put it in my desk drawer years ago. We were getting ready to move back here, and I happened to go back in the maid's quarters, which was Glenn. He was the maid, but he had all his tapes and paraphernalia in there. And I had my typewriter in there. And you know that when I walked in that door, even after we'd been in deliverance a long time, I felt something wham me in the head. You ever get hit in the head? You just feel like you've been hit with a hammer? I said, hey, what's in here? I feel something. He said, it's this right here. Just found that in your desk drawer. I'm cleaning it out. We burned it. And then after that, we went to a restaurant, a big, big smorgasbord restaurant. And it was kind of a highfalutin place. It was called the Queen's Arms. And they would give you all the buffet. And then when you got through with that, they would bring out the prime ribs. And, well, we ate much too much, I'll tell you that. And there would be a man going around, a man with a violin, and then there'd be a man come along and he wanted to do your handwriting analysis. We were able to say, no, thank you, sir. We don't believe that's of God and we don't want any part of it. And he'd just walk away, you know. You don't have to be obnoxious to be a Christian, but you don't have to indulge in all this either. Any Masons or Eastern Star, you don't have to indulge in those. I once belonged to the Zonta Club, Professional Women's Club. Yeah, that wasn't the biggest mess I ever got into. Only one trade can get in it. One housewife, one secretary, one lawyer, one doctor. And I happened to be an engineering, we owned our own business. And they invited me to come as something really big time, you know, to be invited to go. So they initiated me in, they gave me a pen. And I would go to the meetings. Well, I had so much work to do in my own company, I didn't have time to go down and watch them smoke and drink and carry on. They didn't do anything, really. And I just quit going. And I just denounced that Zonta Club. I didn't know there was anything wrong with it. I just knew I didn't want any part of it. You see, the Holy Spirit will convict you. If you will really listen to the voice of the Lord and the Holy Spirit, you'll be convicted about a lot of things things we used to do 10 years ago, we can't do now. The Lord keeps cleansing us. Not that some of them would be wrong, but we just don't care to waste our time doing them. You see what I mean? And the Lord wants to heal us all. He wants to get... Now, if you've been to any of this occult stuff, here's what brings it on. Divorce, first of all. Mental sickness. All kinds of strife. Church splits. One person in the audience with a rebellious witchcraft spirit can tear up a whole church if you let them. You believe that? You're all sitting there. I don't know. Are you there? Are you there? Everybody there? You can have all kinds of cancer. Cancer is nothing but a bunch of rebellious cells in your body. Do you know that? That's what the doctors say. Rebellious cells that rot. They won't allow the body to carry them away. All of these things it brings upon us. And that's what we get so far in Christ, and we get to the wall, and we can't get any further. We may not grow anymore for years. Just stay that same way. And if you can't pray in tongues, if you've got a little bit of the Holy Spirit, but you aren't fluent in tongues, that's another strong probability that it's coming from the occult, either in your background. Now, I'm going to tell you one more thing. And then we're going to pray. When Derek Prince came to our house, he stayed 10 days. He had me crying most every day because he was telling me a lot of things that's wrong with me. And he doesn't handle you very nice. There's nothing nice about the devil. And I thought I was pretty spiritual, you know, being a preacher's daughter and everything. Always in church. And every day and Mrs. Prince, the first Mrs. Prince, would say, "Leave this poor child alone. You didn't make her cry at the table." Well, you know, I used to hate crying women. When I used to have a lot of women working for me, boy, they can cry and get on a jag and be they don't have to work then, you know. But I used to tell them, get your hands on the keyboard and start to type and forget your problems. And here I am. I was crying every day, and I didn't like that at all, but I couldn't help myself. So he cleaned out our library, for one thing, but that didn't bother me. But I was glad to know about that. But one day he said, I'm going to pray for you and Glenn now before I leave. Every day he'd say that, but he never had time. He was always in meetings, morning meetings and evening meetings, and everybody seeing him privately in the afternoon. The last morning before we were going to take him to the airport, he said, I'm going to pray for you all. So I get a chair and I take it in the bedroom, in their bedroom, and he begins to pray for me. And he told us, you're both under the power of a fortune teller. I said, well, I have never been to a fortune teller. I didn't know it was inherited down. I didn't know anybody in our family had ever been to a fortune teller. But I said, well, pray. You see, if it's not in there, he's not going to get nothing out. Oh, did he get something out? And it lifted off of me like a tent. I could see better. I could think better. I could hear better. I was just like I'd been in a daze. And I used to consider myself fairly smart and intelligent, but I was just in a stupor. And he lifted it lifted off of me, and he told Glenn, you're under the power of fortune teller, too. Now, our parents have had the Holy Spirit since his mother since 1922 and my folks since 1932. So he said, well, it's not because you've been to a fortune teller. It's because it's coming through your mother's. The Holy Spirit showed him this. So I thought, well, I don't think my mother's ever been to a fortune teller. So when he prayed for Glenn, another tent lifted off of me. See, you get it. What's in the husband, the wife, it can hinder her too. And what's in the wife can hinder the husband. So we got rid of that. And I couldn't imagine. But I'm telling you, when people tell me they see something in me, I want them to pray for me. So then we go in the bedroom, and they were kind of packing, and I took a chair in there, and I said, I want some more prayer. So he said, all right. So they began to pray. And the first thing he said to me, I can't remember, some little piddly spirit that you would think it was a little piddly spirit. And then he said, you spirit of forgetfulness, come out of her. I thought, how ridiculous. Glenn used to, I told him he used my brain all the time. He'd ask me, who's this, who's that, who's something else? And I can just remember. And then he said, the second or third time, he said, you spirit of forgetfulness, come out of her. And I jerked just like that. Now, I didn't do that in my own, and I knew I didn't. So they kept on prodding at that spirit of forgetfulness. And I just sat there in that chair thinking, boy, this is something. Don't you always just kind of get startled when something starts manifesting through you like that? And it kept on. And finally, a voice that was not my voice came out. And you know what it said? When he said, you're going to come out in the name of Jesus, it said, no! And that was not me talking either. And then he said, but the blood is against you. And this voice says, no! And then it kept on arguing with him. And Mrs. Prince had a way of getting in high gear or low gear or whatever that is. Man, could she speak in tongues and deliver people. And she began to pray. And that spirit began to throw me all over that bedroom. My hands were going like this until my watch flew off. I was on the floor. They put me on the chair and I'd fly around that room like I was an airplane. And that thing fought with him and argued with him, and it said, she did not know that I was in here till you told her, I hate you, I hate you, I hate you. And it just carried on and carried on, and he kept quoting the Bible to it. He kept saying, the blood of Jesus is against you. And it said, this is what it was really something. It said, we're locked to her brain and we're not coming out. And he says, how do you operate in her? It said, we won't let her remember the word of God. We shut off her brain so she can't remember the word of God. And I thought, how true, how true. Now, that's one of the traits of the occult, You cannot read your Bible and know what you've read. How many reads down to a page and then you think, what have I read? And you go right back and you read it over, and by the time you get to the bottom of the page, your mind has wandered far away. And they kept on. That thing did not come out easy. I guess I need visual aids to really catch on good. And nobody can talk me out of it. Nobody can talk me out of that. And eventually, I remember he said, bow to Jesus and come out of her. And when he said that, I was on my knees. I just went to my knees and just made two little coughs and out, and it left. And I'm telling you, that was really something that I will never forget. I won't let her remember the word of God. Now, have I touched on anything that is bothering you today? I know you've had lots of deliverances, but I don't know if there's some little thing, because tonight at midnight, the camp meeting will be over, and all the staff is tired, and they'll be taken off tomorrow, and we'll all be tired. I know there's one or two that has some appointments, but let's get it over with this afternoon before you go home, and before you have to stay over another day and harbor this thing one more night. Let's bow our heads.
I really got very strong about marijuana.
Yes.
Yes, smoking marijuana
or taking any kind of drugs. That's sorcery. Yes. Oh, I see. It's a little boy putting up his hand. Okay, let's repent first. Get serious, young people. Get serious. This is serious business. We're not playing church in here. We're dealing with something that's going to help all of us. So you listen real close, will you? Both you children, don't talk now. Don't fight with your hands. Okay, let's bow our heads now, and we're going to pray. I want to first pray a minute. Father, we take authority over all interfering spirits right now in the name of Jesus. All interfering spirits that would try to keep these people, their mind, off of what we're going to pray about. Lord, let us all be keenly alert so that we can get delivered and not have to go home with these things that have plagued us all these years. Lord, we just thank you. We ask you, Lord Jesus, to send the holy angels in here. We ask you, Lord, to send Michael and the warring angels or some of his troops in here to fight and war in the heavenlies over this place and war against the strong man over this place. We bind that strong man in the name of Jesus. And we thank you, Lord Jesus, for angels helping us. We thank you, Lord, for angels who help us in the fray. Lord, we thank you. We praise you, Lord. We praise you, Lord. Now let's just wait a second. These angels will start arriving around us, because there's a lot of ministry needed to be done yet this afternoon. And I'm going to pray, and we're going to repent. First of all, we repent of our wrongdoing, and we remit the sins of our forefathers and ask the Lord to cleanse us. You pray after me. Dear Father, we come in the name of Jesus. We are a needy people. We need so much more. Lord, we ask you to help us. We ask you to forgive us for every time we've been disobedient. Like the children of Israel were disobedient. Lord, every time we've yielded to any idolatry or any evil spirit of the occult, anything from the netherworld, and any curiosity about the occult. Lord, we ask you to help us and to forgive us for every time we've ever indulged in any of this. And we ask you to cleanse us by your precious blood. We ask you to cleanse the sins of our forefathers that have been visited on our bloodline. We remit the sins of our relatives that are still living. And Lord, we thank you for your blood and your mercy and your grace. We thank you, Lord, that you died on the tree, that we don't have to live under curses.
Thank you, Lord,
Lord, we thank you and praise you.
Lord, we thank you and praise you.
And Lord, your word says,
whoever calls on the name of the Lord
shall be delivered. We call on you now, Lord, to deliver us. Now, I want you to just sit quiet. There's one thing the Lord just brought to my mind. We didn't know, we had no idea where this fortune-telling spirit had come from. At about 4 days ago, I think just on Monday after they left on Saturday, my husband's mother came over to our house. They had been living there, but when Brother Prince was coming, even though we had 4 bedrooms and 4 baths, they insisted they move over with one of the other children while he was there. And so we were sitting at the table, she and I. And I said to her, do you know anybody in the family that's ever been to a fortune teller? Because Brother Prince says that Glenn is under the power of a fortune teller. She said, oh, yes, I had when I was 17 years old. And I said, well, you know, he picked that up on Glenn by the Spirit. She hit the ceiling, but it wasn't the real her talking. She says, you tell that old Derek Prince he don't know what he's talking about. He don't know what he's talking about. Everything's under the blood. Everything's under the blood. Everything's under the blood. And it almost frightened me. And that spirit, that thing came right down over me again. And I didn't know what to do in those days. Boy, we have to learn along the way how to keep these things out. And we haven't had enough teaching even this week on how to keep these things out and what to do. So who do I run to when he gets home from work? My husband. And I told him, I said, your mother's been to a fortune teller? And when I told her about it, she got mad. And now it's on me again. So he said, he come against it, and he commanded to leave. And he said, now don't let that thing take you over anymore. Well, now my parents were Assembly of God preachers since 1932. So I couldn't imagine where it was coming from off of me. 6 months later, we go back, I think in August, and this was February, we go back to the Middle West to visit them. They had a big family reunion. They had all these tables set out with dinner. And so they, somebody needs Kevin, I guess. We were all eating. And right in the middle of the meal with the cousins and my brother and his wife and the aunts and the uncles and everybody, about 20 people around these tables. We had all the card tables up and everything, you know, and everybody's sitting there. We had a great big dinner. And you know, right out of my mouth, I said, do you know anybody in this family that's ever been to a fortune teller? And my mother said, oh, yes, I have when I was 17 years old. Same words Glenn's mother had when she was 17. I said, did you know Derek Prince picked that up on me and says I was under the power of a fortune teller and something lifted off of me? And guess what she said? That old Derek Prince don't know what he's talking about. Everything's under the blood. Everything's under the blood. Everything's under the blood. And she went through this whole thing. Now, my dad had a way as a minister to throw oil on the troubled waters. He said, everybody, shut up. Be quiet, everybody. Everybody was in a big furore. And you know what happened? My dad says, now, wait a minute. Maybe this is true. Maybe this is true. We need to think about this a little while. So everybody got quiet, and he talked to us. And I didn't feel it come back on me, probably because he was there to save my mind, and Glenn was there. But, you know, neither one of our mothers ever received and accepted that to this day.
Everything's still under the blood.
Yeah. Everything's under the blood and no problem.
Air.
Yet in both of our families, we've had the same symptoms. Suicide, divorce, belligerent children or grandchildren. All of the symptoms that I read here. And there's a lot more symptoms. If you want to really get something that'll be an eye-opener, buy one of those tracts back there that's 10 cents that lists all the symptoms. And you know that my mother preferred to die than to get prayed for. Because she was so religious and set in her ways. I'm not going to go into it anymore, but it was a very pathetic thing that she died when she wasn't even really sick. Because she did not want to accept deliverance. Even after they moved here They did not want to accept deliverance, and they left. My parents left because of they didn't want any deliverance. They wanted the big Assembly of God church here with a big cross and a steeple that went round and around with a neon sign, and they left. She didn't live but 2 years, but my dad said they were sorry. He was sorry. But it's a pitiful thing. We're not dealing with flesh and blood. We are dealing with something that is so monstrous, if we even dared to believe it, that we would get on our faces and really seek God to have the Holy Spirit turn the light on all of us so we know. Now we're going to go right back into deliverance now. The blood of Jesus is coming down over you to forgive you and cleanse you. I can feel the anointing coming down. See, it's anointing that's going to destroy the yoke. It's not really what I've said. It's the anointing of the Lord. The angels are around here. The angels of the Lord are in here. If you put your hands out, you can feel them around you. Tune in to the Holy Spirit right now. Ask the Lord to open up your spiritual senses so you can realize this. And we're going to start commanding these evil spirits to come out of us. Now, whether it's sex spirits, whether it's fortune-telling spirits, whether it's... Glenda's going to start calling them out, and we're going to start... Oh, he's going to pray, and
Brother Mooney's going to help too.
Okay, and we're going to start calling these out.
Father, I come in the name of the Lord Jesus. I stand as priest in this place, and I take authority over every evil spirit in the name of Jesus Christ. And I bind them in Jesus' name. And I command you to loose these people and set them free and come out. And I take authority over you, and I bind you in the authority of the name of the Lord Jesus. And Father, I ask you for the angels of the Lord to come and bind them up and take them and keep them till you judge them at the day of judgment. Now, in the name of the Lord Jesus, I bind and break your dominion over these people, and I loose them in the name of Jesus.
Yes.
Come out of them, set them free in Jesus' name. You have to obey. Jesus
yes.
is Lord,
yes.
and you have to obey, for it is written, Satan, that he gives us authority over you in his name. He said, in my name, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, you shall cast out demons. And I take that place of authority this afternoon, and I bind your power and break your dominion over these people, and you have to come out and set them free. Now come out in Jesus' name. Come out.
All fortune-telling spirits from the witch, in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name, you come out. All incest, come out in our heritage. All incest and bastard spirits, bestiality. Only just a couple weeks ago, we had it on the front news of our little newspaper. Some boy was arrested for bestiality. Oh, I don't need that. Okay. Okay. All false religions, like Gene Dixon books, the yoga spirits, all yoga spirits, all Jehovah Witness, all Mormon spirits. Jehovah Witness, in Jesus' name, come out. Jehovah Witness, come out in Jesus' name. Breathe them out now. Cough them out. Stay in the Spirit. Just you cough them out. You have to breathe them out. In the name of Jesus, come out. Rosicrucianist, who believes in reincarnation. All kinds of spiritualists. Christian Science and Unity, come out in Jesus' name. Theosophy, come out in Jesus' name. Inner Peace Movement, come out. Inner Peace Movement, in Jesus' name, you come out. Mind control spirits, come off of them. Ekankar spirits, Scientology spirits, come out in Jesus' name. Unitarian spirits, come out. The Way, come out. The Moonies, come out. The Moonie spirits, come out in Jesus' name. Come out in Jesus' name. Wearing jewelry that's from the occult, the Italian horn jewelry. The Star of David is not... David never had a star. It's fictitious. Antichrist spirit. Come out in Jesus' name. Come out. All hex spirits, come off of them in Jesus' name. Hex spirits. Rock music spirits, come out in Jesus' name. Rock music spirits, come out in Jesus' name. Christian rock. Worldly rock music. Idolatry. Idolizing the... rock stars in the name of Jesus. Keeping pictures of rock stars in your home in the name of Jesus. Drinking spirits, alcoholic spirits, rage and anger, come out in Jesus' name. Come out in Jesus' name. Rage and anger, come out in Jesus' name. Rage and anger, fury, wrath, come out in Jesus' name. Come out. Mason spirits, come out. Mason spirits, in the name of Jesus, come out of them. Eastern star spirits, come out in Jesus' name. All kinds of unscriptural beliefs or practices, metaphysics, yoga spirits, yoga meditation and yoga books, yoga exercises. Lamar spirits, come out in Jesus' name. Lamar spirits, delusions, come out. All kinds of depression, come out in Jesus' name. Poverty, come out in the name of Jesus. Intellectual spirits, come out in the name of Jesus. Intellectual spirits, come out in the name of Jesus. Trying to figure everything out, seeking knowledge that we have no business seeking for. All kinds of overeating, uncontrollable passions, smoking, drinking, cookie jar spirits, overeating, gluttony, come out in Jesus' name. All kinds of sexual perversion, come out. Masturbation, come out in Jesus' name. All kinds of sexual perversion, in the name of Jesus, come out. In the name of Jesus, come out of these women. Come out of these men, in Jesus' name. Enslavement to drugs, enslavement to cocaine and marijuana spirits, come out in Jesus' name. Marijuana spirits, come out in Jesus' name. Marijuana spirits, alcoholic spirits, tobacco, come out in Jesus' name. Come on out. Hate, all kinds of hate and unforgiveness, come out in Jesus' name. Hate, come out, hate in Jesus' name. Unforgiveness, come out in Jesus' name. Anxiety and nervousness, come out in Jesus' name. All kinds of neurotic behaviors, come out in Jesus' name. Self-pity, here's a big one. Self-pity, come out, breathe them out, self-pity in Jesus' name. Breathe them out in Jesus' name. Self-pity, come out. Come out of these children. Come out of these children. Come out. Perversion out of these children that they were born with. Come out in Jesus' name. Come out in Jesus' name. Come out. Self-pity. Self-pity. I'm back to self-pity again. Feeling rejected. Come out in Jesus' name. All the rejection. Come out. All the negative personality in you. Negativism. Come out. Lying spirits that lie to you and tell you, spirit guides that talk to you and you think it's God. False prophecy, come out in Jesus' name. Gambling, fear of dying, and jealousy and envy, come out. Jealousy and envy, come out in Jesus' name. Jealousy and envy. Spirits of divorce, come out in Jesus' name. All the spirits of divorce, come out in Jesus' name. All suicidal self-destruction spirits, come out in Jesus' name. I bind suicide in Jesus' name. I bind suicide in Jesus' name. All the spirit guides that talk to you, your voice in your ear. All indifference and not being able to remember the word of God. The spirit of forgetfulness because you can't remember the word of God. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Spirit of forgetfulness. Leave in Jesus' name. Leave these people. In Jesus' name. All kinds of doubts and all kinds of fear come out in Jesus' name. Fear come out. Fear come out in Jesus' name. In the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus. Mind control and rebellion. Mind control and all rebellion against God's word, against parents, against pastors or authority, against the police force, against the president, against our government, against God. Come out in Jesus' name. Come out in Jesus' name. Hypnosis, come out in Jesus' name. Pendulum swinging, come out in Jesus' name. Come on out. Come on out in Jesus' name. Kikaliyama sandalaba huriandalia sandalabandoria. Kiliyama sandalabandoria. Homosexuality and lesbianism, I bind you. Come out in Jesus' name. Homosexual spirits, come out in Jesus' name. Homosexual spirits, come out in Jesus' name. Homosexual spirits, come out of these people. Come out of these young people in Jesus' name. All kinds of homosexual spirits and perversion, masturbation, come out in Jesus' name. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. 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 Rindele basandala basandala bandoria. Ilia masandala bandoria. Kilia masandala bandoria. Ilia masandala. Oh, yes, you have to leave, don't you? In the name of Jesus. The blood of Jesus is against you. 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 Theosophy, come out. Theosophy, come out in Jesus' name. Theosophy. Bring them up, bring them up. Test them out. That means to vomit or give a quick jerk and breathe out. I want to come against burning incense. How many have ever burned incense in their house? Burning incense. How many have had any Indian dolls or Indian witchcraft or Indian pictures around them? How many have ever sat under a pyramid? Pyramid power. How many have ever lit candles for the dead? For the Catholics. You know, for the dead. All of that is abomination to the Lord. And in case you wonder about this, this is a lot of it is coming from toys, demonic toys, robots and transformers and war games and all of that, and fantasy that child has been allowed to watch or to play with. Of course, it was born in him. He was born rebellious. But if we don't get it out when he's little, what will he be like when he gets big? Everything that's come out of you, you've got a vacuum space in you that you can take in the Holy Spirit, receive the Holy Spirit, and walk in whatever you've got already. You got to walk in this before we can get more.
I just ask for a complete healing in Jesus' name. And now, Lord, I just ask that you would fill us with the Holy Spirit. Fill us, Lord, where the demons have vacated. I pray that you would fill those spaces with the Holy Spirit, Father. Lord, just empower us and endow us, Lord Jesus, with your Holy Spirit, Father.
This is the end of this message. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com. And LHBCOnline.com. There are many free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home.